All right, let me show you some pictures to kind of get started. We this week, we had some birthdays at my house. We had Christy's birthday. This is kind of a birthday season for us. Christy's birthday was this past week. We have Hudson's birthday coming up here in a couple weeks. When a birthday comes around, I don't know how you are. Do you ever think through, okay, how much am I going to spend? What am I going to buy? What am I going to get? And I don't know if you've ever thought of like knockoff products. Like you could get the legit product, or you could get the real thing, or you could get the knockoff at a cheaper value. Spread that dollar a little bit farther. I found a couple things. If you're looking for knockoff products, I found some. First of all, you can get your Apple iPhone, or you can get your iPair right there if you want to get an alternate product. Some of you who are diehard Apple fans can't even hardly look at that. You can get your iPair. Or maybe you want to get something for, I was thinking of Hudson. I found there's not Superman, Special Man. Instead of $15.99, he's probably $2.99, right? Special Man. You got that one. And then here's another goofy looking one. We're not going with Nike. We're going with Hikey or Hike. There you go, knockoff products. No one wants those. I don't know if you remember, man, back in the day, or you go, any of you ever been to New York, you walk around and you see people selling off knockoff bags and purses and glasses and things like that, always trying to save you a little bit of money. Why is it that the genuine Apple phone, the genuine Superman, the genuine product costs more? It's the real deal, right? It's the real phone. It's the real bag. It's the real Coach bag, the Louis Vuitton or whatever product you want. It's the real deal, so you're going to pay full price, right? Well, it's the same thing with spirituality. That's where I'm going with this. If you're going to be a genuine Christian, it's going to cost. There is a cost involved. There is a sacrifice involved. If I want to buy a real item for my wife, a real phone, a real iPhone, it's going to cost more than the fake. If I want to buy the real shoes, it's going to cost more. If we are going to be genuine Christians for the glory of God, there is sacrifice involved. And that's been the entire theme of this series in Romans chapter 12. There's a cost. We've looked over here in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and we've seen that I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Here we find that the cost is described as a sacrifice. If you remember, the first lesson we had, we went through Romans chapter 1 through 11, and we talked about the fact that sacrifice is a concept we are not very familiar with. It's something we've kind of lost. We're not closely associated with that. But because of God's mercies to rebellious sinners and the cost or sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, we are called to live daily, even moment by moment, minute by minute, as a living sacrifice to God. And that's our way of spiritual worship. It takes a cost to be a genuine Christian. It also affects the way we worship. It also affects how we interact with the different pulls and pressures and pushes of the world. That was week number 2. We talked about don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're going to have to make costs, and we're going to have to sacrifice, and we're going to have to spend time in the Word of God, and we're going to have to allow the Holy Spirit of God to change our thinking. There's a cost. It also means that we're going to have to battle our thinking. We're going to have to battle through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, and in submission to God. And then last week we talked about how there's the cost and how we view our gifts and other people's gifts in the church. We must sacrifice our pride, our agenda, our comfort, even our prejudice to be a living sacrifice for the glory of God. And today we're going to take verse 9 through 21, and we're going to look and see that we have a final cost aspect of genuine Christianity. It's the cost of a sacrifice of love. I don't know if you have any notes or headings in your Bible. If you have headings, maybe some of your headings at the top of verse 9 say marks of a true Christian or marks of a genuine Christian or marks of love or aspects of love. There are a lot of different ways Bibles have done that. We're going to see two things today, though. We're going to see two things. We're going to see, first of all, a living sacrifice is marked by sacrificial love towards one another. And a living sacrifice is marked by sacrificial life, sacrificial love, in the face of hostility. So if you have your notes, we can just start out right there. First of all, a living sacrifice is marked by sacrificial love towards one another. Let's read the passage together. I have it up on the screen. You could turn out to Romans chapter 12. We'll read it together, and you can see where we're coming from. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So once again, we're going to look at the two main points. First of all, a living sacrifice is marked by sacrificial love towards one another. So if you see that, the way the passage is broken out, we have verse 9 through verse 16, and that's primarily where we'll be looking at this first point. But to talk about this, we need to understand what it means to love, and we need to understand what it means by one another. Right? If we just say love, we're going to have a lot of different ideas. One another also is a key word to grasp what the Bible is talking about. So first of all, what is love? If someone asked you what love was, what would you say? What would someone around you say is love? Maybe you can give me some interaction around this one. What is love? Lifting others up, okay? Anyone starting to sing in their head? Singing songs about love or tunes about... No? Okay. Lifting others up. What else? What's love? Care and concern. Okay. Some would say it's a feeling. Something that comes and goes. Some would say it's an emotion. Anything else? Something you fall into. Something you fall out of, maybe. Right? Something that kind of happens around you. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you think it's something that is associated with cards and flowers and cake and jewelry, right? Something like that. Well, here we find that love is not a sentiment or a feeling or an emotion. It's a sacrificial display of deep care. One definition, it says, a godlike love that loves regardless of the circumstances, a deliberate love that decides it will keep loving even if it is rebuffed. Love is not just disgust, something we talk about, but love is demonstrated, something that's shown. If I use the word demonstrated or I use the word shown, is there a verse that pops in your brain? What's the verse that you think about when we think about love being shown or love being demonstrated? Yeah, Romans 5:8. John 3:16. Yeah. Romans 5:8. Yeah, I heard that one too. God shows his love for us. And that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We are recipients of grace. We are recipients of God's love, and we need to show that love to others. Remember, a living sacrifice is marked by sacrificial love toward one another. The second part of that, though, is one another. If you have been exposed to the New Testament, you're going to be familiar with those words, one another. It's throughout the whole New Testament. It's talking about the relationship between believers, one believer and another believer. It's a very common description. Now, if you look at your notes there, we're going to see that, first of all, John repeatedly speaks of true believers displaying authentic love towards God and one another. And here's what I'd like to do. We have four different sections. I'd like some of you to just read for me. So can someone raise your hand? Someone read 1 John 2, verse 9 through 11. Can I just have a hand? Someone who feels confident to speak out? Perfect. Thanks. Someone else who wants to read 1 John 3, verse 11. Okay, Daniel, thanks. Paul, you want to get the next one? 1 John 3:16 through 18. And someone else says, okay, perfect. 1 John 4:20 and 21. And you can just sit there, stand up, whatever you feel comfortable with. If you wouldn't mind reading out, that'd be great. But here's what we want to see. We want to see what 1 John, the book of 1 John, what John tells us about loving one another. We've got 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. Yes, ma'am. Yep, the contrast between hating and loving your brother in Christ. Excellent. Then we have 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. Daniel?
This is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another.
Yep. And then we have 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 and 18.
By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth.
Excellent, thank you. And there you see, not just in talk, but in deed and in truth. Not just saying we love, but actually showing, demonstrating love. And then we have 1 John 4, 20 and 21. Excellent. And did you catch it there? There was a key connection. How can you say you love God if you don't even see God when you do see your brother in Christ and you won't love them? It's just a logical fallacy. You're talking, but you're not showing. And then Paul, you talked about 1 John 3, verse 16. That talks about Jesus and his love. That's our second point. That Jesus explains sacrificial love. He showed sacrificial love, but he also explains sacrificial love. We have John 13 and we have John 15. Can I have two other people? We're going to get a lot of reading going on today. Two other people who say, yeah, I'll read John 13, 34, and 35. Perfect. Thanks. And then let's do John 15, verse 12 through 13. Joe? And then someone else want to read verse 17, John 15, verse 17, just to get a little interaction going? Thanks. Okay, first we have John 13. 34 through 35. And we're going to hear what Jesus has to tell us about sacrificial love towards one another.
A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.
You catch that last part? By this shall all people know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. We are showing and demonstrating to the world that we love God, that we are God's children, when his love is being poured out through us to our brothers and sisters in Christ. So there's a connection here between our love and our profession. It's a very key connection, and Jesus just made that. So feel the weight of Jesus' words. All right? And then Joe, I think you had John 15, 12, and 13. Yes, thanks. And we can look at that last verse, John 15, verse 13, and we can connect that back to Jesus Christ. Greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. But if we just leave that as something Jesus does, then we've blunted the force of the verse. That verse should be applied to us as well. And that's why we can say that sacrificial a living sacrifice should be displaying sacrificial love to one another. You and I should be sacrificially loving one another. And maybe not by physically laying down our life, but laying down our preferences, laying down our opinions, laying down how we want to do things. And we need to demonstrate love to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we want to say that we're a Christian, but we don't want to live like Christ lived and laid down his life. And then we have John chapter 15, verse 17. Courtney, thanks.
These things I command you, so that you love one another.
Excellent. Yes. And the key there, the word command. This is an option. This is a command for you and for me to love one another. So let all the weight of what we've heard in John, 1 John, all the weight of what we've heard from Jesus weigh down so then we feel compelled to show and demonstrate sacrificial love to one another. But then third, we find here in Romans 12, Paul gives the examples of sacrificial love towards one another. And here's what we're going to do. If we had all kinds of time, we could run in great detail and look. But there are 13 different ways, if we were going to go down in detail and look at the different examples of love that Paul gives here in this passage, and we just don't have the time. So on your sheet, you'll see it broken out, and we're going to look at these seven different kind of headings and try to give a quick overview. And then I would really encourage you to spend additional time. We've broken it up based off of verses here. I would encourage you to spend additional time trying to think through, prayerfully apply how you can sacrificially love and show sacrificial love to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay? So we're going to try not to blow too fast through here, but there's just so much data, so much information, and it's just one after the other information that Paul is trying to convey. So let's see. Here we're going to see Paul gives examples of sacrificial love towards one another. We mentioned that. Now, some of these examples here, let me just put a caveat. Some of these examples are explicitly tied to interpersonal Christian relationships. Others are not directly linked in this passage to those believing relationships. But all of these examples of sacrificial love are to be lived out within a Christian community. Okay, so as we look through here, that is the context with which we are going to live out sacrificial love. That's what this whole section right here is about. First, let's see that living sacrificial love is authentic. We can see that in verse 9. Let love be genuine. Let love be authentic. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. It's genuine, without pretense, not put on, not hypocritical. You might just think through that. And you might try to evaluate your own heart and see where you are pretentious in your love or hypocritical in your love to other believers. Maybe there's a place for confession of an act instead of a heart of compassion, care, and sacrificial love for your brother or sister in Christ. And maybe right now God, the Holy Spirit, is convicting you because maybe there's a believer who you've faked it around and you've not loved. And maybe you need to confess that and ask God to help you live sacrificial love for the glory of God. We see in the verse, though, it also goes on and says, abhor what is evil. Abhor means to vehemently dislike, to have strong hatred, to have intense rejection. Douglas Moo said, love is not genuine when it leads a person to do something evil or to avoid doing what is right. And what is right is defined by God in His Word. So we need to abhor what is evil. We need to cling to what is good. Hold fast to what is good. Think of super glue. That's what's being talked about here. Hold fast, cling, stick to what is good. Super glued to what is pleasing to God. The Christian's whole life is wrapped up in pleasing God. And that's going to take sacrificial love. And that's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit to fulfill this. So first we see a living sacrifice type of love is authentic. Second, a living sacrifice type of love is outward facing. Look at verse 10. We can see this one here. Love one another. Once again, we get that word. One another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. It's outward facing. Paul is underlining the truth that Christians are members of one family and that accordingly they should have a warm and fervent love for one another. And not in pretense, but in truth and reality. Think of the best examples of family love, and that's what Paul is telling us here. You're supposed to have brotherly affection towards one another. Show honor. Think of Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves, because a living sacrifice type of love is outward facing, caring and concerned about others, specifically your brothers and sisters in Christ. Living sacrifice type of love is passionate. Look at verse 11. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. We have zeal, we have fervor, and we have service to God and to others. This is an internal drive and a passion for the glory of God, the advance of the kingdom, and the building up of the saints. Don't live your Christian life. Don't live in Christian community with a half-hearted love and concern for God or for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Have a passionate zeal to see them built up, to see God glorified, to see the lost engaged. There are some great ways that we can be doing that even right now, right? We have Easter coming up. Some great ways you can be praying and thinking and engaging both your church community and your community at large. Living sacrifice type of love is passionate. And then living sacrifice type of love is enduring. Verse 12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. I'm just going to slow it right here real fast, because I think we see something interesting with these three words: hope, tribulation, and prayer. Because sacrificial love can sound really good when it's not tied with sacrifice, right? And love can sound really good when it's not put in the context of trouble and tribulation and trial. But the Christian life is steeped in trial. The Christian life is surrounded by suffering. The Christian life is a continual call to sacrifice. And here we find that there can be hope and a tribulation and prayer all at the exact same time. A true Christian will maintain their love for God and their believing family in the face of tribulation. And we need to come alongside brothers and sisters in the midst of their tribulation to remind them of their eternal hope, encourage them in patient perseverance, and consistently pray with and pray for them. Do you know the joy of just sacrificially loving a brother or sister in Christ who is going through a trial? It means you can't just be tied up in your own thinking. You've got to be aware of what they're going through. And then you're going to step alongside of them and sometimes step inside of some pain and some mess and some hurt. Put an arm around them. Cry with them. Pray with them. Remind them of the truths of God's word. Or stepping into their tribulation with compassion and Christ-likeness. There is hope, though. I didn't want to take this much time on all of the points, but when we're talking about rejoice in hope and in the context of tribulation, one verse I've thought a lot about over the past, I don't know, 4 or 6 months has been Romans chapter 5, verse 2 through 5. Let me read that. It's hope and tribulation. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Why? Knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Brothers and sisters, there's hope in the middle of suffering. God is at work. Wherever you find yourself today, whatever tribulation you find yourself like right now, what you're dealing with, the internal heart turmoil you're going through, there is hope. Romans is very clear that God is at work even in the middle of that suffering. And it's producing some things. It's at work. God is at work in you and through you in the midst of that tribulation, that suffering. Don't lose heart. You can rejoice in hope, and you can be patient in tribulation, and you can be constant in prayer. Sometimes we don't know how to pray. You ever been there? You just have no idea how to pray. The tribulation is weighty. Things are heavy. The tears are continual, and you're not sure what to do or what to say. Well, Romans 8 again comes in, and God tells us in Romans 8, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Praise God. So, living sacrifice type of love is enduring. Let's also see here in verse 13 that living sacrifice type of love is generous. Verse 13, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Ephesians 4, verse 28 gives a very interesting side comment on this. If we're going to look at verse 13, we see contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. We are seeing that we're supposed to give. Ephesians 4, 28 says that we are to work hard so that you can have something to share with those in need. That verse took on a different meaning even as I studied for this morning. Because we are called to show sacrificial love to our brothers and sisters in Christ, and Ephesians 4 actually ties that to how we work and what we do and how we make money, so that it's not just, oh, wow, what can I buy with this money? What can I do with this these resources? What better vacation can I take now that I'm making a little bit more? What better thing or car or whatever that terminates on ourselves can I do with more money? But rather, how can I be more generous to my brothers and sisters in Christ because of what God has blessed with? Ephesians 4:28, work hard so you have something to share with those in need. This is sacrificial love. And we see here it's giving of your money, and it's also giving of your home, but not just your home. It's giving of everything. It's not hoarding everything except home, because it's explicitly called out hospitality, right? We're not going there and saying, okay, God, you said hospitality, so I'll invite people over for dinner, but that's the extent, that's the box for my hospitality and my generosity. No, we need to be sacrificially loving and caring, opening up your home and your time and your calendar and your schedule and your family so you can love and serve other people, so you can sacrificially care for your brothers, for your sisters in Christ. And then we see that a loving sacrifice type of love is compassionate. We're going to go to verse 15 here. And the verse says, rejoice with those who rejoice, but weep with those who weep. There's rejoicing and there's weeping, but it's together. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. You sacrificially enter into their state of emotion and their station in life. Don't be so wrapped up in self. When they are weeping, weep and care. When they're rejoicing, shout, sing, dance, rejoice with them. Get excited. Be engaged in the excitement of their life. But that means we've got to get our eyes off ourselves. And that means we're going to have a different way of thinking. We're going to have to think sacrificially and lovingly about our brothers and sisters in Christ. Living sacrifice type of love is compassionate. And then last, here we're going to see living sacrifice type of love is in harmony and as well in humility. That's verse 16. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Harmony. We've already talked about this. We talked about this last week. Unity. Instead of highlighting differences, be of the same mind, as we find in Philippians 4. Think and act in a way that promotes harmony. Don't be proud. Don't be puffed up. We see that. Rather, we need to care for those in a different position in life. Don't highlight the obvious distinctions, possessions, positions, gifts, personality. But rather, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, puffed up, full of hot air, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Because we are called as living sacrifices to have sacrificial love to one another, to our brothers and sisters in Christ. So here's what I would ask. How is your love for fellow Christians? Is it marked more by talking about love or showing sacrificial love? And then how are you going to sacrifice? I would encourage you to run back down that list. Where does God convict you that you need to be sacrificing in love for your brothers and sisters in Christ? Then let's look at the last few verses here. We see that our final point is a living sacrifice is marked by sacrificial love in the face of hostility. I want to see 2 points here. First, Paul explains sacrificial love in the face of hostility. You will face persecution. You will face opposition. You will face hostility. We find that here in verse 13. Verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. 2 Timothy 3 also says, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So you will face persecution, but do not respond with cursing or a desire for evil to fall on those who persecute you. We see that in verse 17. Don't repay evil for evil, but rather give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. We are to be sobered by the fact of God's wrath and warn others. We find that here. We see that rather leave it to the wrath of God. Don't try to have vengeance on ourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. And the rest of the context of the New Testament actually shows that we shouldn't have joy in the wrath of God extended on others, but rather we should have compassion and care and a broken heart about the wrath of God that's going to be poured out on others. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11, "Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. We are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, God made Christ to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Christ we might become the righteousness of God, and so that we could call other people into that sort of relationship too. We can be reconcilers, not rejoicing in wrath falling on others." Paul demonstrated this in Ephesus. Acts 20, verse 31, he says, "Therefore be alert, remember that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to warn everyone with tears." There's sacrificial love in the face of hostility. The love for those who persecute you is costly. It's going to be very costly. Verse 18 calls you to live peaceably despite persecution. And verse 19 calls us not to avenge ourselves. The early church faced unjust persecution. Paul faced unjust persecution, and you as well may face that type of persecution. Peter spoke to believers facing intense persecution and encouraged them, "Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good." 1 Peter 4:19. But not only are you called to not wish ill or revenge, you are called to love, care, and provide for your enemies. We see that in verse 20. By doing good, you can heap burning coals on their head. And this is not a devious or underhanded way to sidestep the prohibition for revenge while still waiting and watching for the persecutor to suffer. This is, here's a quote, "This is to cause the enemy to blush with shame and remorse, and this might lead to his conversion." That's by Cruz. So what we desire in this situation is not further condemnation, but conversion. We want to see those who are persecuting, rather, converted. This picture painted here is sacrificial love in the face of hostility, and it's very different from what we understand and how we think. We don't see this modeled around us in the world. We barely see it modeled in the church, but we definitely see it modeled at the cross. And that's our last point. Jesus is the example of sacrificial love in the face of hostility. What do we see in Luke 23? Luke 23, verse 32, Jesus on the cross, everything he has gone through, he's there on the cross and he cries out, "Father, forgive them." And he's demonstrating sacrificial love in the face of hostility. When we look at verse 20 here says, "To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head." When we read that in light of Christ and the cross, who is Christ's enemy? Who is Christ's enemy on the cross? It's me. It's us. We are the enemies of God. And how does God respond? To whom does he give food? To whom does he give life? To whom does he give the bread of life? The living water? It's to me. Who was the one to whom Christ wanted to place conviction on their head and lead them to repentance and conversion? It's us. So we've come full circle. If you look back at verse 1, "I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." We started this series looking at verse 1, Paul appealing to us by the mercies of God in Christ. And we end the chapter reminded of the mercies of God when we were enemies and dead in our trespasses and sin. God is calling you and me to respond to his mercy toward us with sacrificial living. This sacrificial living is the only reasonable worship. It demands transformed minds by the word of God. It allows us to be gifts to the church, and it is marked by sacrificial love. May the Holy Spirit empower us to daily live to daily be sacrifices because of the mercies of God and to the glory of God.